Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here today, and I enjoyed and appreciated the things that were shared this morning already, and especially the verses that Brother Randy read there in Romans chapter 6, where it says, "Now be made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Just a reminder again, as we think about the subject that I've been talking about, I think that there are a lot of areas in which we need to examine fruit and see what's coming out of a person's life or a teaching, and analyze, is that actually being worked out? First of all, we need to analyze ourselves, and a group of people, a church, a teacher, whatever it is that actually what is being worked out by their faith? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you that we can gather here and worship you. Thank you for the reminder, again, of the many blessings that we enjoy, so many things, God, that you do for us every day, that you give us, that are so easily taken for granted. We want to honor you and thank you for those many gifts. And I pray, God, that you would continue to guide us as we look into your word, as we think about and discuss different things. Help us to have our minds drawn to you and ask ourselves the question, what do you want from us? What are you working in us? And to analyze where we are receiving input into our lives and how that is affecting us. We thank you, praise you, and we look to you for your direction. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We'll read a couple verses in Proverbs chapter 30 again. Some of you were here last Sunday, some of you weren't, and I started looking into the subject of music a little bit, and I want to continue with that here today, and I'll probably split it up and save some for next time. And yes, it's quite a subject to look into, and I find out more and more that I don't have the answers to a lot of questions, but more and more I get steered toward the idea that the worship of God is intentional, and the seeking of godliness needs to be intentional. Amen. Because otherwise, we are going to float with the stream. It's just a fact of life. Because whether or not life has a current, and the current of life moves away from godliness. That is the world in which we live. And if we are pursuing God and we want godliness, then we have to actively pursue and seek that. And we will make progress if that is our desire. In Proverbs chapter 30, which I read last Sunday, and I use this chapter, and there are many, many other verses in Proverbs that talk about cause and effect. The writer of chapter 30 starts out in verse 2, he says, "Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Here's a man, I believe this is a very wise man, one who was seeking godliness, and he realized of himself there is no strength and there is no wisdom, but he is very sure that those who put their trust in God, God is a shield. And so those who seek God will find them, will find him. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 2, several verses there. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. The active and purposeful seeking of God and of his wisdom, here again, is we are assured that in that we are going to find security. So if we actively are interested in God's wisdom in our lives, but there again, it's not sitting in the shade, drinking lemonade, taking it easy to where all the good and the wisdom flows into our lives. Yes, it's a good way to meditate on God. But when we sit in life, current is going to take us in the wrong direction. I made this little simple illustration here that we have the kingdom of God. And from God flows godliness. And security. Wisdom, as we seek wisdom, it brings us closer to God. And from society, or the kingdom of this world, what flows from there is a perversion. Perversion of what God has created. Not everything that in society is evil and is wrong, but just like I said, the current of society will take us away from God. And so what flows from God again is godliness and security. What flows from society is a perverting of what God has created. And we see that over and over again if we are paying attention. 1 John chapter 2, well-known verses there, 16 and 17, says, love not the world. The things that are in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father in heaven abideth forever. Might have chopped that up a little bit. But that is the thrust of the message there, is that the things of society, the things that are in society, are things that feed the flesh, and they are not of God. But those who seek God purposefully, on purpose, those who seek God and the will of God will abide forever with God. We are told that we are to be in it, but not of it. And so we live in a society. That's where we live. And there again, the current of society, if we are not actively pursuing God, is going to take us further away from God. Matthew chapter 13, in that chapter we find the parable of the sower, and we've got three different kinds of ground there that that the sower talks about. How when the sower, what Jesus talks about, the sower goes out to sow, and some falls by the wayside, some falls among thorns, and some falls on good ground. Some falls on the rocks too. And so Jesus is drawing the illustration, and he says of the one group of people that the word that hear the word and receive it, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. That is the effect that society has on the word of God. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and they become unfruitful. So in it but not of it, we need to be of those who cultivate our hearts, our minds, on purpose to receive God's word so that God can give us the input that he wants to give us, and we receive it eagerly and put it to work in our lives. How do we decide? In many cases, you know, it's so easy to look around and say, well, this seems to work well for those people, and that it's an obvious bad choice, and other areas that seem a little gray, and it's hard to maybe convince ourselves that it's a bad choice, maybe because we enjoy it. And we are looking for more reasons to justify what we enjoy rather than really perhaps being honest about whether or not this is moving me toward more godliness. How do we decide the better choices? And so often I think the best way, number one, we need to seek God and seek his word. And then we also look for those who are willing to give us some direction. And sometimes that direction is so often like Proverbs, to where this is typically the outcome of certain things. Doesn't mean it always will happen this way, but this is typically the outcome. And that's why, you know, the grandpas, the grandmas in a church, those people that have been serving the Lord for years, those people are valuable, because they often have seen things happen over their years that gives valuable insight into actions and results. At the end of chapter 30 of Proverbs there, the last verse says, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. There are certain things that have almost guaranteed results in life, and there are other things that typically work a certain way. Doesn't mean they always do, but they typically work a certain way, and those who have been around for a while and have experience often have valuable insight to give of how things tend to work out. Doesn't mean they always do. I love stories, and there's a story that most of us have heard of, and we probably even talked about it here before. But in 2009, there was a big airplane that took off from LaGuardia Airport, and there's a whole bunch of people on board. This is a great big airplane, and some of you all are familiar with those airplanes, but took off from the airport, and up in the air it went, and 3 minutes into the flight, they're already 3,000 feet up in the air, they intersected with a flock of geese, and some geese went through both engines, and they immediately lost power. So you're on takeoff, you got a huge jet, you got a lot of people on board, and no power, and you're over the city. And this pilot was able to make like a U-turn, no power, made a U-turn, and 5 minutes after takeoff, he landed that thing, crash-landed it on the Hudson River, and everybody survived. The thing didn't sink right away, but he managed to bring it down and land it on the water in a way that the thing stayed afloat. And someone asked him afterwards, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? And he said, I've been a commercial pilot for 29 years. And so for 29 years, I have made small deposits into an account called experience. And when I needed it, I was able to make a big withdrawal. And he was able to save all those people's lives. And so that is the value of experience. Someone else, an aviation spokesperson, said of Captain Sullenberger, our pilots are very experienced. but they do not have experience on landing on water. And so this guy had a whole bunch of tidbits of experience that he was able to put together and come up very quickly with a plan of what would be the best way to go about this. And remember, he took off and he was up at 3,000 feet, and it was always in 5 minutes' time he was landed on the water. And so he had to compile a whole bunch of things that might work into a plan of action very quickly for an experience that he never had before. And that is the value of experience, where you can put together proverbs and come up with, you know what, let's analyze life and come up with something that has a really good likelihood of succeeding. And so that is the voice of experience that has looked around, seen actions and reactions, and seen the fact that typically, I mean not always, but typically these types of actions and input bring this type of result. I'm sorry if it sounds like all I do is go to funeral services. Erica said that. It's starting to sound like that's all that I do. But yesterday, Hannah and I were at another funeral service. And I couldn't help but just scratch my head. Here was a guy that in 2000, I don't know when he received Christ, but he was baptized in the year 2000. And now, 22 years later, he died because he couldn't stop drinking. And the person who did the majority of the service had a lot of good things to say about Jesus. But during the service, he said that he is in a drug and alcohol recovery program right now. And he also said he got baptized at the same time that the person did that died. And so, help me out here. What's Christianity doing for you? What's it doing in your life? But unfortunately, this is what society's input into Christianity has done. It has given us a society that largely is happy to acknowledge Jesus, and where everybody says, well, he didn't get it right in this life, but thankfully now he's in heaven and everything is all taken care of. I don't pass judgment, but I'm saying let's look at the Word of God. Is that what the Word of God tells us, that our expectation of life will be? But so much of modern music has given us that. Acknowledge Jesus, live a happy life, have a good time, and you go to heaven if you're a good person. Or maybe even everybody goes to heaven. And so mainstream Christianity has brought basically most of our society to this place. You believe and you will go to heaven, and it is an easy solution to making difficult choices. It is an easy solution to making difficult choices. If you can't figure it out, then oh well, you'll go to heaven in the end anyway. There again, it is not my desire to pass judgment on other people's, but the Bible, Jesus very clearly told us that fruit that comes out of a person's life gives an indication of what truly took place. And if you also use the verses that Brother Randy read, we'll just turn to that. Being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, having become servants to God. What is the outcome and what is the outworking of becoming a servant to God? How's that working out? If we look at music, I believe we would all, well, at least most of us, at least would agree that music communicates. Some people would see it as just entertainment. It's just something to entertain, whatever, fill your mind. But music communicates. It speaks, and it does affect, and it has a power over the listener. It affects emotion. Some people play this, what I call it, sleepy elevator music, because it helps them to relax and be calm, and I'm not sure what all the reasons are, but it tends to make me want to go to sleep. So we call it the sleepy elevator music. Certain types of music, people play certain types of music to help them relax, calm their emotions, and so all of it, almost all of it, has a power over the listener, a certain type of effect at least, over the listener, to affect the mindset. And music, along with words and lyrics, they will eventually change and affect a person's mindset and the direction of their life. It just does. Music has power to communicate. And it's interesting, there again, I believe that God created singing, God created music. The first place that musical instruments are mentioned in the Bible, I believe, where it lists the descendants of Cain, and it said this man was the father of all who use the harp and the something else, anyway, musical instruments. So that's the first place that it's mentioned. I've looked up, drums, where did drums come from? And the information from several different places said they date to 5,500 years before Christ. And supposedly they found remains of drums on the African continent, and largely centered around Egypt. And they believe that these drums were seen as having an actual spiritual life to them, and they were used to call on the spirits and also in religious ceremonies, and were used to communicate with spirits and also with people. And you can read lots of stories about natives in a lot of different places where drums are their often their mode of communication, and they use drums to communicate lots of different things, to worship spirits, to a call to war, a calling on gods, and many other purposes. And I'm sure if you like to read stories as much as I do, you've come across stories like that. Interestingly, one of the things that I thought of, how often amongst the Native Americans and also African tribes, I have read that the person who was designated as the keeper of history, typically, not always, would strike up a cadence on a drum. He'd get going on his drum, and at some point would begin to chant the history. And so it was a memorization of history along with playing a drum. And actually, they would say that rap music has its roots in that, from the tribal storyteller. And to the storyteller, the drum was important because there was something about the cadence, the rhythm, and then the chanting of the history that all went together. And the listeners often saw it as a social event, but they often didn't realize how much information they were taking in. To them, it was just a thing that they did. And a lot of the young people of the tribe, they never realized how much they were actually memorizing, how much was being drummed into them And it was only the leaders of the tribe, and especially the historian, that saw the importance of the history that he was passing on. Everybody else didn't necessarily think about what was being drummed into them over and over, that they were actually memorizing without even thinking about it. And that was the purpose of the oral history being shared, because many of them said, if we don't know where we came from, we have no direction for the future. And so history was seen as an important thing. But it's interesting to me how that, you read those stories of people who sat there not realizing what they were actually memorizing as all of this was going on. And so there's just a lot of things there that I find very, very interesting. Many tribes had an oral historian. Many times it was seen as a spirit gift. You play a drum, trance-like chanting, those listening would be drawn into the rhythm, and it was a teaching experience, setting direction based on history of the past. Value and impact was seldom thought through except by those who saw the value, or the spirit keepers, the spiritual leaders. And so music centers around teaching, influence, and worship. Again, you're free to come up with some that doesn't do that, and there likely is some that doesn't, but largely music centers around influence, teaching, and worship, because it does impact people. So we have the God of this world and the influence of society, and we have the God of heaven, and often unknowingly, the God of this world is slowly drumming his message into our minds, and we are being impacted in more ways than we realize if we let the cadence and the rhythm, the God of this world, speak into our lives. And that's where it becomes so important to, on purpose, pursue input from God, because if we do not, we often receive without realizing the input from the God of this world. Worship of the God of heaven needs to be intentional. Worship of the God of this world happens openly for some and unknowingly to those who are not intentional about pursuing God. And the reason is music has power. It really does. It has a power to draw us into a spirit of worship, worshiping God, singing together. It has a power to focus our minds, to turn our minds toward God, and so it was created for us to use for a good purpose. But society has a way of turning it into something else. This probably would be a good spot to make a break here and save the rest of this for next time. Jesus said in John chapter 15, several verses there, John 15 and beginning in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Society has a current. And if we are not paying attention, society will take us away from God. The world, Jesus talked about how if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And so therefore, the things that are accepted and received well by society, likely there's a really, really good chance that it doesn't lead toward godliness. And so if society loves it, probably isn't very effective in the cause of godliness. Titus chapter 2, and there are also many other places that give us very practical outworkings of what our faith and our believing in Christ is supposed to be working out in our lives. Just pick out a couple verses here. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And he follows up with those verses after he talks about a lot of practical ways that our faith is supposed to be worked out. And he says in chapter verse 14 of the previous chapter, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Does he want to, is he okay with waiting until we get to heaven for that? I don't think so. I think he wants us to be working toward that and striving for that while we are here on this earth. And again, the goal here is to get us to think about what we are receiving as input into our lives and how it may be affecting us. And a reminder again that the seeking of godliness has to be intentional. It doesn't happen by accident, and it usually doesn't come about by just pleasure. That is where society has its input. And also, I feel like I'm just kind of scratching on the surface of the subject. And that's okay. Remember those ads for cologne and perfume where they want you to scratch it and sniff and it's supposed to make you want to buy? Hopefully the things that I say creates a desire to think deeply and to look deeply. And so, again, pray for me. I'll speak more on this next time, Lord willing, and we'll see where God leads. And let's be willing to look at cause and effect and typical outcomes and allow God to teach us wisdom as we do that, because we do want good outcomes. We do, for God's glory.